Hey, welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I'm your teacher and host, Eddie Hyatt. So excited to be continuing our teaching, our examination of the Epistle to the Hebrews. This is our fourth episode in this series, and each one builds on the other. So I hope you will go back and listen to the first, second, and third ones to get the information there about the historical context and which this letter was written, because it originally was a letter. The full name is the Epistle to the Hebrews. We don't know who wrote it because the author does not name himself. But we are in chapter 2. Now, when this was originally written, it wasn't divided in chapters and verses. So as we're going through it, we don't want to turn our minds off between chapters and between verses, because when those original readers to whom this letter was written, when they would read it, there were no chapters and verses. And sometimes we can lose the flow of what is being expressed and the flow of thought when we click our minds off and on between chapters and verses. So we ended yesterday's episode talking about how the author is emphasizing how Jesus is so much greater than the angels. Be sure and listen to yesterday's episode. It'll help you understand where we're going today. Jesus is so much greater than the angels. The Jews, the Hebrews, this is a letter to the Hebrews, remember, they put great stock in angels. They believed that angels had been mediators between God and Moses in the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. And of course, we have all kinds of stories of angels appearing to Abraham, to Moses, and all sorts of. And God promised to send an angel before Moses to lead him into the promised land. So the Jews held angels in very high esteem, and we see angels giving great deliverance. For example, I believe it was during the reign of Hezekiah when there was a foreign army led by Sennacherib. And I believe it was an Assyrian army, and they were about to overwhelm Jerusalem. And Hezekiah prayed, and God sent an angel and killed, I think it was 180,000. They woke up the next morning and their army had been decimated by this angel sent from God. And they packed up and left. And so the Jews held angels in very high regard. But this whole letter, as we've said in other episodes, is writing to Jewish believers in the Messiah who are coming under persecution because they have identified with what the Roman Empire perceives as a new religion. It's not really a new religion. It's just that the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises, their Messiah has come, and he's fulfilled all of those promises. He has fulfilled all of those temple sacrifices. Everything about the law has been summed up and fulfilled in the Messiah. And as I mentioned in earlier episodes, the Romans had granted the Jews freedom to practice their own religion. So they had the freedom. They were protected throughout the cities of the Roman Empire and in Jerusalem. They were protected. They could build their synagogues and they could worship. And as long as Christianity, as it was in the beginning, was identified with Judaism, they were safe. But then as Christianity began to break away from Judaism and to become separate from Judaism, Christianity, it was something new. It began to be persecuted by local regional authorities and then the Roman Empire and Roman emperors itself. And so at this time, Hebrew Christians now, because they're identified with this new religion by the, it's not really a new religion, but they're identified. The Roman empires and the political leaders are perceiving this to be something completely new. And because they are identified with it, because they believe in Jesus, they're coming under the persecution that's coming against all Christians. And many of them are being tempted to just let go of their faith in Jesus and just identify themselves as a Jew and just forget about Jesus and so on. And that would relieve them from coming under the persecution and suffering, even imprisonment and even death. And so this letter is written to both warn and to encourage, to warn about the dangers of apostasy, of turning away from Christ, and also to encourage them about how much more wonderful and greater is Jesus and this new covenant than everything that they have known and experienced in the past, for he is the fulfillment and the summation of all that they have known in Judaism. And so we ended on chapter 1 towards the end. He was talking about how Jesus is so far superior to angels. And then we flow into chapter 2. And remember, there's no break in the thought. And because Jesus is so much far superior to angels, he says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. He's talking about the gospel message that is centered in Jesus Christ. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, for lest we drift away. Oh, do not drift away from what we have heard, from that good news message of Jesus and what he has done. For if the word spoken through angels, now he's probably particularly referring to the law here, because in rabbinic tradition, it was believed that angels mediated the law from God to Moses. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So he's saying, hey, under the law, under that old covenant, that did not have the value of this new covenant. If under that old covenant, which was mediated and spoken by angels, if everyone who broke its obligations and in its precepts received their just reward and punishment, how are we going to escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Wow. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Look at verse 4, and I'm going to end with this. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. My wife Sue tells about, she grew up in a more of a nominal church, and but always had a desire towards the Lord. And then she was involved in what we would call evangelicalism, which believed in being born again and serving the Lord, but did not emphasize the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But in her seeking after the Lord, she became baptized in the Holy Spirit, experienced his presence and power. And it was during this time she was a public school teacher and a teacher in a community college. And she attended a missionary conference that was geared especially for college students and for teachers, professors, and so on. And it was a big deal. It was held at Urbana University. There were thousands of people there. And she went there, and it's a great organization, a great conference. And stirring up people for missions and to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it was an evangelical group. It was supported by evangelicals who did not talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and so on. And while she was there at that conference, and she has told us, she just had a very powerful experience and encounter with the Lord. And God gave her this scripture and said, no, because she was She felt such a call from God. She was considering if she needed to go out as a missionary somewhere. And she was praying and seeking God about this. But she says that God spoke to her, and this is way back in the 1970s, that no, she was not to identify with this group because, and the Holy Spirit directed her to this scripture about how that the word, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. And God made it very real to her that he had called her into a ministry that would include the expression of signs and wonders and these miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. Wow. And so, what an incredible journey it has been for her and for us, because we have seen those expressed and we're expecting to see even more and greater expressions of these signs and wonders, various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit in the days ahead. Let's all believe for that together. God wants to do so much more. God wants to reach so many people. And there's many people that will never be convinced with just words. They need to see God do something incredible and miraculous, a sign and a wonder before their eyes. So Lord, I pray that you will do it in the name of Jesus. I pray for everyone watching, listening to this episode. I pray, God, that you will reveal yourself to them in your mighty power. Stretch forth your hand and to heal, and that signs and wonders will be done in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I just prayed a prayer that was prayed by the early church in Acts chapter 4. They asked God to stretch forth his hand to heal, and that signs and wonders would be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I encourage you to go over and read that, Acts chapter 4. Great, towards the end of the chapter. It's a great, inspiring passage. And I'm Eddie Hyatt. Check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. Find a lot of resources there that will be helpful to you. Contact information is there. And if I can be a blessing to you, if we can pray with you about anything, feel free to contact me by email. Follow me on Facebook. Friend me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and I'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow.